Thanks, Matt, for allowing me to record these again.
No problem.
What do you want to talk about? Where do you want to start today?
Well, I thought maybe a good place to start would be sort of just to pick up where we left off, which from my notes, we were talking about my definition of future success, and through some conversation, there were a couple of themes that we had discussed. One was this concept of a legacy, which sort of led into life purpose, and we had talked about, you know, what is the life purpose, and you know, I'd responded then it wasn't so clean cut to me. It's something that I thought I had an opportunity to think over, which I did. And the way I sort of frame this up for myself is picture sort of three tiers or maybe a pyramid that's broken into three layers. The top layer of that pyramid is what I'm labeling as life purpose. And then the middle layer is what I'm labeling as values, which should inform the life purpose, obviously. And then the bottom layer is what I called labeled either pursuits, life pursuits, or I brought back this phrase, positive disruptions, which came out of our discussion last time. And so I filled out that pyramid, each of those three layers, with a running start at what I thought might be the right answer as I stand here, sitting here today. All of this, I suppose, is subject to change and evolution, but just snapshot in time, where I sit right now in my life, what I think my best shot at filling this out. So I don't know if that's something you'd like to walk through. I'm certainly willing to share that.
Yeah, I mean, I've drawn the pyramid as you have described it. And, yeah, I'm wondering, would you like to dive deeper into this, or is this just like something you want to share what you've done?
Yeah, sure. So why don't I maybe go ahead and read back, you know, what I have on this pyramid, and that may spur some discussion.
Okay.
So I think it may make sense to start with, the thing that came easiest to me was to start in the middle. So with my values, and I said for values and causes, that was the easiest thing for me to put on paper first, because I thought, you know, sort of life purpose, that's a difficult thing to chew on, right? So I didn't start there, and I didn't start with the tactics, which are the sort of life pursuits or the those types of things, because I thought that would be too tactical to start. So I started in the middle. And so the values that I wrote down, and this may not be exhaustive, but here are some of the things I wrote down. Science and rationality, evidence, empiricism, equality, in parentheses, women, minorities, LGBT, travel and leisure, technology and engineering, education, progress, sort of loosely defined with a capital P, mental health, and literature, and continuous learning.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I had in the middle. And then so I reflected on those things and kind of went through a couple of drafts of post-it notes of trying to scribble down, like, what if I was going to sort of sum all that up in like a mission statement, you know, what might that look like? And so what I landed on, and I'm not quite in love with this, it's still a work in progress, but I wrote down to cultivate a legacy of curiosity and experimentation in pursuit of knowledge and progress.
Mm. cultivate a legacy of curiosity and experimentation in what?
In pursuit of knowledge and progress.
Man, that sounds great.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. So the engineer in me is like, oh, that's so warm and fuzzy. I'm not like in love with it, but I underlined the words curiosity and experimentation because I feel like that is picking up my inner engineer. And my sense of optimism is sort of, I underline the word progress. And then I underline the word knowledge because, I do, one of my values is sort of continuous learning and just learning and reading not as a means to an end, but just as a end in itself. And then I double underline the word legacy because I think that word is sort of what I'll leave behind after I die. And I think you could almost just start with the word legacy and draw a circle around it, and then the branches off of it would be the other words, curiosity, experimentation, knowledge, and progress. So that's what I landed on. And then on the bottom part of the pyramid, again, not exhaustive, still a work in progress, but a running start at sort of maybe some, I put these in terms of stretch goals. Mm-hmm. So these are not immediate sort of tactical things. These are bigger things. Okay. So in no particular order, be a change advocate in boardroom settings. And I think sort of a subcomponent of that is establish myself on some board seats. Advocate for mental health programs and charities. Promote, develop, and mentor young professionals. Be a public LGBT ally. Learn French. And buy property in Paris.
Oh, really?
Hey, stretch goals, right?
Mm-hmm.
Build something beautiful. And travel, read, and eat as well as possible. So that's what I landed on.
This is great work, Matt. I heard your energy go down when you talked about some of this, and some of it goes up. I mean, what's the feeling you get when you connect to all this possibility?
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, obviously, these are the things that motivate me and excite me. But there's also maybe a lingering sense of, there's a lot here to accomplish. it's supposed to be big and broad and sweeping and something it takes a whole lifetime to achieve, right? So it should seem a little bit daunting, I think.
How does that feel to say that?
I think part of what I continuously struggle with is this policing almost of just being my own worst cheerleader in a sense, sort of beating myself up for not accomplishing as much as I could, which is crazy and irrational and silly, but I acknowledge it. I think the idea of forgiving myself and sort of letting myself be comfortable with just me and what I can accomplish, and not needing to strive towards some irrational model of perfectionism, I think is obviously liberating in a sense. But I, you know, acknowledge it's still a work in progress, because my natural reflexes and tendencies are to say, accomplish, you haven't accomplished everything yet. And rather than to reflect on all the things I have accomplished. And so that's a work in progress. I think that's something I'll have to continue to exercise the reflexes to change some of those habits that I do think, you know, cross over into some of the therapy that I work on with my therapist.
Mm-hmm.
But that was a long answer to a simple question, which is in some regard, it's liberating.
So there's a whole boiling pot of stuff, of feelings and
definitely
things. I'm wondering, do you want to dive deeper today into some of that self-policing, or into that, you know, what would be there in terms of habits or reflexes if you weren't feeling it the way you are now? Is that an area, or is there something else?
No, sure. I'd be happy to talk about that.
How would you describe, what are you looking to sort of clarify?
I think as I've come to sort of discuss with my therapist and in some of these sessions, what I'm learning, which I think some of these learnings have applicability to business and life in general, which is why I think I'm willing to kind of flush some of this stuff out in this session, is, you know, what I'm learning is, I think from an early age, I have learned behaviors that cause me to, in general, put my feelings aside in an effort to mollify, placate, appease, please others. I think that was my natural coping mechanism growing up, specifically in relation to my parents and that relationship. But then as I got older, some of the habits that I learned from an early age were positively reinforced because they happened to be correlated with academic and professional success. So these concepts around these behaviors, such as constantly stressing about my to-do list, envisioning future potential failures and doing everything possible to list the ways those could be mitigated, or worrying, having a sort of picture of my identity internally that was rooted not in who I actually was at the given time, but what I ought to be. And having a sense of self-worth defined by how close that actual identity was to the ideal. So these types of behaviors, I think, have been present in my conscious or subconscious for basically my entire life. And as a younger man, physically and mentally, I could handle that. As I've gotten a bit older, what I'm realizing is my body and my mind can't handle all of that, that high, high self-imposed pressure. The stress is just, it's like you're filling up a bucket and the water's like pouring out over the edge. The water, in this case, representing those stresses and self-criticisms and things of that nature. And so it's leaking out in my anxiety symptoms and even physical issues and things of that nature. And so I've recognized that these behaviors are somewhat extreme and not serving me in the same way they served me as potentially as I was growing up. And so I've recognized, I intellectually understand what's going on in that pattern, but breaking that pattern and learning new behaviors and new ways of assessing my identity and my success, I think, is something I'm just now embarking upon and trying to learn. And I'm finding I don't think it's going to be easy, but I think at least I have a good understanding of what I do need to work on, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm glad you're taking all that to your therapist and gaining the clarity that you are around the patterns. I'm wondering so how would you define what you would like us to move forward around that in your understanding today?
Yeah, well, I mean, I suppose, if you apply that to the context of this discussion around life purpose and how I get my sense of self-worth and things of that nature. I mean, I think one way to advance that ball forward is to replace the sense of self-worth that I have historically achieved through those behaviors that I described, to replace it with something new. And I think to the extent that I can sort of rally my mind around these positive disruptions, these pursuits that I articulated a few moments ago, mm-hmm. I think those could be rallying points for me personally and professionally moving forward to get more of my sense of self-worth around the positive disruptions rather than accomplishing things on a never-ending to-do list, because these disruptions, some of them aren't well-defined. Some of them are inherently risk-taking or not direct. Like, so build something beautiful, for instance, is purposefully vague, and I think for a reason, and the reason being it encourages that curiosity and experimentation. And so I think to the extent that I can use curiosity and experimentation as replacements for perfectionism and, this to-do list style thinking, I think that's how maybe some of these themes are tied together.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I think the next logical step here is to take some of these positive disruptions and broad pursuits and commit. It might not be across all of them, but at least for some of them, to commit to shorter-term actions or experiments. And I don't know how I would define short term in terms of what exact time frame, but I think it may be to start
experimenting and tinkering with some of these positive disruptions, which would give me a sort of a sense of momentum down the path towards making some of these things reality.
Okay. So it seems like the theme of positive disruptions, using that as a vehicle for exploring some of the things you underlined around curiosity, experimentation, I don't know, legacy, progress, knowledge, and finding, it seems like finding some ways forward to experiment with that somehow change the emotional experience that you're having of your life. That's my sense of it. I wonder what...
I think so. I think that's right. And emotional is a appropriate word. You know, another thing that I'm learning about myself is I tend to suppress emotions. I tend to be almost Spock-like in my just you know, primacy of logic and intellectualism. And I can almost say, you know, hey, I should be feeling X. Like, logically, that's the appropriate emotion in this context, but I don't really allow myself the space to feel it. And so I agree with the statement that you just made, which is I think I do have an opportunity to take some of these positive disruptions and find some joy in them. And maybe not even joy. Maybe in some of these cases it's sadness or sympathy or fear or some of these more raw emotions that for most of my life I think I've seen as negative. And I'm realizing now that by repressing those emotions, I've sort of done myself more long-term harm than good.
Yeah, I can relate to that. I mean, you know, there are things that it just takes time to work through, and
yeah,
and your ability to inquire into your own thought process and emotional reality is great.
Yeah, that's what my therapist tells me. but he also says, but he also says that part of that intellectualization is actually a coping mechanism in itself, so to hold the emotions out at arm's length, because you can describe them and you can intellectually describe them and even draw a flowchart out to say what causes what, but you're not, by doing that, you're not actually dealing with them. So.
Well, let me ask you then, if you weren't intellectualizing right now around positive disruptions, what would you be doing or experiencing instead?
I think just literally going out and living it. I mean, some of these things, when you think about positive disruptions, sometimes disruptions are not contrived by some preordained, thought-out plan. They can be inherently spontaneous and sort of there's a certain amount of serendipity involved. And so I think instead of viewing positive disruption through the lens of five or six bullet points that I have to go achieve or accomplish, which is my traditional way of thinking, I think it might be more of a pair of sort of glasses that you sort of put on and see life through that prism and sort of, you know, identify opportunities to personify that experience in your just sort of, again, spontaneous social interactions, business interactions. I think sort of incorporating that as part of my brand and my identity and sort of outwardly telling people, you know, this is part of my brand and part of my identity and part of what I want my legacy to be. I think just taking some of those actions, even though they still seem preliminary or minor or elementary, I think maybe a different way to approach this than my traditional, okay, I got to write down a plan and here's what I'm going to do in 30 days and here's what I'm going to do in 60 days. Like, I'm longing for the absence of a plan. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh, yeah.
I'm longing for some spontaneity. I'm longing for chaos because so much of my life is so well ordered.
Mm. So what would be the positive disruption in this instance that you are seeking for yourself?
Well, I mean, I think, in the past several sessions, you know, I've sort of, I don't know, I'm sure you've picked up on this, but I've sort of self-assigned my homework.
Yep.
And, you know, I have this habit of neatly compartmentalizing action items and things of that nature. And again, that's just my reflex. But if I was going to get away from that tendency, the appropriate thing here may be to not assign myself a tactical, formulaic next step. It may be literally to, over the next 2 weeks, to just live and maybe give myself a little bit of a reminder. Maybe I'll put a note up or something of what, you know, just write down positive disruption and sort of just so I have it kind of fresh in my memory as I'm going about my day and just day to day and just looking for a couple opportunities, not to find, just looking for some opportunities to put that positive disruption hat on and use it and then see what happens and note the results. I mean, that's how you run an experiment, right?
Yes. And remind me again, what are the qualities or definition of positive disruption for you?
Well, for me, I mean, I think it's inherently it's a creative process in which existing norms or practices are questioned and supplanted with something new, different, innovative, non-traditional, for the purpose of, you know, making some sort of progress, improvement in the underlying situation.
Mm. Oh, so how do you apply that?
Well, I mean, I think how I would apply that is, you know, just again, in this context of not having a plan per se, is literally in day-to-day conversations, meetings, both in work and outside of work, dealing with social interactions, looking for, and I've used this word before with you, looking for ways to provoke,
mm-hmm.
being sort of a provocateur. I mean, not in an untactful or, not in a way of just throwing grenades, but purposefully and compassionately. Again, positive disruption, not negative disruption, for the purpose of just creating chaos. It's not that. It's the practice and the skill of seeing opportunities where things can be questioned and things can be done differently, seizing those opportunities, letting people know that I'm doing it from a constructive place and provoking disruptive thoughts. Not necessarily imposing, saying we must change X because I said, but provoking innovative thought in others.
It's interesting. As you're speaking, I have this sense that you've taken the focus off of you finding the joy and just being without a task and giving yourself a big task. I don't know, how does it feel to you? Is that true or not?
I don't think so. Because I think it depends on how you define task.
Uh-huh.
I think task for me is something that is definitive. It's time bound. It's specific. It's tactile. I can, you know, I must do the laundry on Thursday night. I must accomplish project XYZ within the 6-month time frame. I think is more a way of being. It's just more a way of showing up and looking for spontaneous events wherever and whenever they show up. And it's less a burden to me of oh, I've got to accomplish this, and this. It's I'm giving myself the permission to show up in a way that I think is most authentically me.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense?
Yeah. And let me check. Are we on the right path here? You feel like this is moving in the right direction for you today?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think it gives me some things to, again, I'm struggling. I'm trying not to avoid the gives me some things to go take away and do.
Yeah.
But I think it gives me a focus area over the next 2 weeks to, I think, run an experiment. I think is how I'd like to tee this up. As opposed to I have an action I want to go complete. I think the right frame, getting back to my some of those words that I used in that purpose statement, is I think I want to run an experiment, which is what happens when I put aside most of my things that would traditionally give me worries and anxiety, which is basically my to-do list. What happens in a 2-week period if for the most part I put those aside and instead devote most of my energy towards this theme of positive disruption?
Mm.
And you know, does something significant break? Do I, you know, because the negative impulses in me immediately want to say, oh my God, don't let go of that stuff because stuff's going to fail, stuff's going to break down, you're going to lose control. You know, those are all my sort of negative perfectionism voices coming out when I think about that experiment. But the hopefulness side of me and the optimist in me says, well, part of the reason why I'm in the role I'm in, like everybody already knows I can get shit done. I don't need to prove that anymore. I mean, where my value to this organization over the long term is going to be in the innovation, the positive disruption, bringing new ideas to the table. And that's what excites me the most. So even if a couple things did fail, is that really in the net at the end of the day, that might be okay or even desirable if I'm achieving more on the positive disruption side of the house. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. I want to offer you something else as well. I love your experiment. I think that's great.
Okay, by all means.
One of the things you said you liked was when I said something about changing the emotional experience you're having of life.
Yes.
And I'm wondering, when you said something about, you know, while doing the laundry, I'm wondering whether you want to sort of consider what's the emotional experience you want to have while fill in the blank, doing the laundry, for instance. I don't know. What's your thought?
Yeah, I mean, so this, I first of all, I agree with you in the sense that I think this is an opportunity area for me. It's something that I've identified, as I mentioned to you earlier, as a opportunity area for me to better, more richly experience some of these emotions. It's also inherently difficult for me to think about because it does not come naturally to me. So I do think it's something that I should probably take a couple leaps on. I'm just not quite sure how to do it, if that makes sense.
Do you want to talk about some – do we want to get tactical right now?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. So when you say not sure of how to do it, what are you talking about?
Well, I mean, some of this gets kind of metaphysical in some way. I mean, how do you learn to more richly experience day-to-day emotions? I mean, some of it's just sort of, I guess, letting go and being willing to outwardly and inwardly feel those things. But it's not like, okay, how do I power wash a deck? It's not something that you can put an instruction manual towards, I don't think. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So it's perfect timing that we'll be doing your emotional intelligence assessment debrief next week or so. Well, my invitation is, what's the being versus the doing? I'm sorry if that's coachy jargon.
No.
But that's what came to mind to me is, what is the experience of being that you want to have in any mundane, everyday task?
That's actually a really interesting statement for the following reason. I have noticed that when I'm doing mundane tasks in general, for it to be over so I can go accomplish something else. And I think, again, in the sense of experimentation, just learning to be with that task and to get whatever enjoyment from it that I possibly can, I think is probably, and some of it's sort of in the mindfulness kind of area,
mm-hmm.
I think is something probably very worthwhile.
Yeah, and in terms of, you said you wanted some positive disruptions for yourself. I mean, how would you say, you know, what did you get? What are you getting?
Well, what I'm getting is the ability to just freaking relax. I mean, you know, it's exhausting to fill up all of your downtime with mental gymnastics associated with worries and what you have to accomplish next, and to never get off that treadmill, except when you're asleep, sometimes not even then, is absolutely exhausting.
Mm. So I wonder how you can apply some of this wonderful analytical energy to this whole realm of relaxing and enjoyment, and what's the key phrase or what would help you?
Well, I sort of struggle with the concept because I there's part of me that wonders, is this analytical energy completely antithetical to relaxation and enjoyment? I mean, is relaxation and enjoyment achieved only when the analytical energy shuts off? Like, is it even possible to harness the analytical energy for the purpose of relaxation and enjoyment? I'm not expecting an answer.
But that's great. That's great. What would be the experiment that you could run then around that?
Could try it. I mean, I could literally probably do some sort of, I guess, tracking. Like, I would apply my business life. You know, I'd come up with a plan and track it, which would entail, okay, I want to set aside this much amount of time or opportunities to just be mindful of whatever it is that I'm doing, and maybe take down some notes, some lessons learned at the end of the day as to what I took away, and then see what that comes back, see what those results and data come back like, what it tells me.
Yeah. How does that sound to you? Doable? Not doable?
Yeah, I think it's doable.
Yeah?
I learned something.
You can't walk away with no action. Oh, dear. So what did you learn about yourself today, if anything?
Well, I think one of the things that I think I'd like to acknowledge is the fact that this sort of life purpose, values, positive disruptions, I mean, I think it feels good to actually have that on a piece of paper that I can look at. Like, it feels authentic. It feels, in a sense, stimulating, in a sense, exciting, in a sense, it gives me, it just reinforces, I guess, the idea that I can define who I want to be versus what I want to accomplish. Looks, all these things are just about being and embracing some of my values rather than accomplishing things on a to-do list. And so I think that's a big takeaway. And I think, as you articulated, this being versus doing, and being willing to be more as opposed to do more, and running maybe an experiment on that, I think is another theme. I think that's a opportunity for me, and is one that I'm wrestling with in a sense in my some of my therapy as well. So I think it cuts across both.
Mm. Yeah, I'm wondering if there is anyone else other than your therapist that you want to have support you or not.
Yeah. Again, I'm not super comfortable displaying lots of emotions, but I mean, I think that's another thing that I have to probably experiment on is, you know, allowing, for instance, some work colleagues and some friends that are in our social circles outside of work a little bit more visibility into actual emotions of mine. I think people would appreciate it.
Mm. Yeah, so what's the baby step or that you could take to
show
your emotions?
Well, I think it would be one person at work. Maybe open up to it, whether it's about one of these topics or maybe some of these positive disruptions. And maybe one person in my social sort of personal life talk to about some of these things. Mm. I think I could start there.
Okay. How does that resonate with you? As doable, not doable?
Yeah, it's definitely doable.
Okay. Anything else you can think of?
I think that's enough.
Yeah. So is sort of okay? Does it feel like time to wrap up, or is there something else that you need to address?
I think we've covered a lot of ground, as we usually do.
How would you describe the ground today for you?
You know, every conversation we've had, I feel like we've made some interesting progress. I mean, after only about, what, 3 sessions, 45 minutes each, I've now got a complete life purpose and statement and value statement and some next steps on how to bring some of this stuff to fruition. So I feel pretty good about that.
I think you should. It's a lot of work you've put in.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm glad this has catalyzed that. It seems like just having the structure.
Yeah, having the opportunity, I think, and the setting aside the time to actually focus on it, I appreciate your word catalyze it. I think that's absolutely right. That's the correct word.
Yeah. Well, I wish you a great experiment in the being realm.
Yeah.
whatever that means to you and the exploration that, that brings to you and whatever positive disruption occurs for you as that experiment unfolds. And look forward to hearing whatever you want to share when we speak next.
Awesome.
All right. Anything else?
Nope. Thanks once again. I really appreciate the time and the conversation.
Thanks, Matt. Me too, really.
All righty.
All right. Bye for now. Ciao.